As you take your seats this morning, I don't want you to lose consciousness of Papa's presence. See, the word isn't meant to just touch our mind, it's meant to also touch our heart. And Papa wants to do that this morning. He wants to touch hearts. He wants to reveal to us truth that sets our heart free. And not just thoughts that make us feel like we know more. It's not what we know, it's what we live. So, Papa, thank you. And if you end up laughing through my message this morning, that's fine. I have a great guy on sound who will boost the sound if people can't hear over your laughter. That's fine. Papa wants his kids free. See, we've been talking about the love of Papa God. Many of us have grown up or we've lived for years knowing about the love of God, but we've not seen him as our Papa. We've not seen him as one that we can be close to, one whose lap that we can come and sit in. And because of that, we've lived distant. If you know what it is to have kids in your household that are distant from you, maybe they're teenagers trying to find their own identity or whatever, but they're distant. As a parent, that grieves your heart. Let's not grieve Papa's heart this morning. Bible says, come as a child. Come as a child. And so this morning we're going to look at some of the aspects of doing that. What does it look like in life to live as a child of God? What does it mean? See, I love finding things in the Word, but I also love to take it that step further and say, how do I live that out? What does that look like in life? What does it mean to be that? So this morning, we're going to start looking at what does it mean to be a son or daughter of God? How do we live like that? Well, the first area I believe it affects, it's a whole area of fellowship. Some of us have grown up knowing what it is to have a mother or a father that listened to us, that we could tell them all kinds of anything. Or a parent who would sit down and just start to talk. But if you didn't have that, I know that in your heart there is a longing for it. And there's even the disappointment that you were robbed of it. Why? Because God made us for fellowship. God wants us to know what it is to be his son, his daughter, and to come close. See, no general, no ambassador, no servant, no diplomat will come and sit on the knee of a dignitary. But a child will, their son or their daughter. Doesn't matter whether they're queen, whether they're president, whether they're most rich person in the world or the most powerful person in the world. Their son or their daughter can come and sit on their lap. And Papa wants us to know what that is like, to live our life in that degree of fellowship with him. There's a book in the library, and if you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. It's called Freedom Diaries. It's about the freedom to have a relationship with God. It's a great book, and will help you get started in realizing that God wants fellowship with you. He made man for fellowship. I don't know about you, but I have struggled at times talking to God in my everyday life. It's like going to the supermarket, excuse me, and talking to the Lord about what I'm buying at the supermarket. It's like, would God really care about what I'm buying at the supermarket? It's a feeling like, well, you know, there's catastrophes in China. There's unrest in the Middle East. There's people who have just lost a loved one. There's people going through all kinds of heartache and agony. And do you really care about whether I bypass the source or not? But let me ask you this. If you walked in to a home and there was a young child sitting on the floor playing with their toys, and you wanted to relate to that child, would you start to tell them about the complexities of your work, or the signs of a healthy marriage, what's happening in the political realm in the US or Australia? Would you tell them about how to make good investments? Not if you want a relationship with that child. If you want a relationship with that child, you're more likely to get down on the floor where that child is and to talk to them about their toys, about their books, about anything that that kid is into. And if you take them shopping, are you going to talk to them about the stock market? Or are you going to help them choose out a toy and decide whether to get the red one or the yellow one? Make little difference to you whether they buy the red one or the yellow one. But how many of us would take the time to relate with that child about what's important to them? Papa wants to talk about what's important to you, whether it's what colour you dye your hair, whether it's how much money you put in an investment, whether it's how to make your marriage work, or what to buy for tomorrow's dinner. If it's important to you, it's important to him. He is not too busy. He is not stressed out over the latest catastrophe. He is not short on time. He wants our fellowship. I love the scripture here in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 39:29, "And I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God." What was spoken to Israel belongs also to us. And God's saying here, I'm not going to hide my face from them anymore. Why? Because I've poured out my spirit. We looked at the scripture last week, Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You tie those two scriptures together. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us witness that we are God's kid. And because of the presence of the Holy Spirit and because we flow with him, we get to see the face of God. We get to be ones that God picks up and brings close and we look face to face. Why? Because we're his kids. Awesome. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." I don't know what your definition of a good home is, but my definition of a good home is it's a place where people relate. God wants to make his home with us. If you have somebody in your house that you are totally ignoring and you never talk to, I would think that the atmosphere in your home might be slightly lacking. What do you think? How sad that God says, "I want to make my home with you." And we pretend he's not even there. We'll talk to him at church on Sunday. Yeah, but he lives at your home on Monday and Tuesday and all the rest of the week. Papa wants fellowship with us. And it's one of our incredible privileges. But I believe that we don't tap into it to the degree that we're meant to until we know that we're God's kids. That's the first area I want to talk about. Second area I want to talk about is trust. Kids have an amazing sense of trust. You can tell kids all kinds of things, and the thing is that they'll believe you. I mean, if I asked for a show of hands how many believed in Santa Claus, those of you who weren't brought up in a Christian home were probably told about Santa Claus and you believed he was going to fit down a chimney or come through a wall or whatever. Why? Because children have so much trust. And the tragedy is, of course, when that trust is violated. And that's where some of us, we carry wounds in our life because as a child, our trust was violated. And Papa wants to heal us of those wounds. Because the devil loves to wound us, especially in the area of our gifting. Why? Because he wants to destroy trust. Trust is so huge in the kingdom. In fact, it's so huge that we have a special name for it. It's called faith. Faith is simply trust in God. As I said, it's so important in the kingdom that we put this name on it. Mark 10:15. "Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." It takes trust just to even get saved. See, if you're here and you're born again, you are trusting in a guy who lived 2,000 years ago, was executed, and rose from the dead. You weren't there, you didn't see it. You can read books about it. But because of your trust, you are totally born again. And Papa wants us to keep growing in trust. That's why we have to come as a child. It's that quality of, "I trust you." The greatest display of trust that we see is with Jesus on the cross. Amazing trust. Let's look at this next verse, Mark 10:17. Now as he was going on the road, one came running, kneeling, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" This is just a few verses later from the previous verse where Jesus says, you need to come as a child. See, the disciples said, nah, God's too busy for kids. Sent the mother, sent the kids and that away. Jesus said, no, don't stop them from coming. Why? Because there's not one person that's insignificant to God. And it says that not only did he bless them, but he took them up in his arms. You may feel this morning like you are insignificant, but you're not. Papa loves you and he wants to pick you up in his arms and bless you. It's not just enough to have the blessing of God on us. I believe we're meant to be a people who know what it is to live in Father's embrace. And then a couple of verses later comes this incident which shows the exact opposite. We have this man that comes in all his splendor. And he stands before Jesus and he says, what must I do that I might inherit eternal life? Jesus gave him the one thing to do which uncovered the whole area of trust. If you've got money, does God want to take it all away from you? No. But God wants our heart. So he tells this young man, go sell it all and follow me. Verse 23, then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his word. Why? Because they were Jews. There were a lot that had riches. That's why they were astonished. But Jesus answered again and said to him, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. I believe as sons and daughters, God wants us to grow in trust. And he'll challenge us regarding where our trust is. See, what does it mean to walk in trust? Many times I believe it means to end up in situations where we don't know what's happening. Ever been there? God tells you to do something and you wonder why. Ever heard somebody say, when you're praying about something, God's never early, but he's never late, he's just on time. Anybody heard that expression? A few of you have, yes. What's that about? That's about trust. See, many of you are in a situation right now where you're wondering why God hasn't answered your prayer yet. Why you're wondering why it hasn't all sorted out. Why is it difficult? Why are you having to wait? One simple reason. God's helping you grow in trust. And without mystery, we don't have a reason to trust. Without things that are beyond our understanding, we don't have a reason to trust. Verse in Proverbs that we're all familiar with, verse chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. We so easily want to. I said a couple of minutes ago about Jesus living with total trust in the Father. You see it throughout the Gospels, but the time that you see it most is when Jesus is on the cross. On the cross, he became sin. On the cross, the judgment of God against sin came on Jesus. The very last thing that Jesus says from the cross is, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. That was a statement of huge trust. Jesus was saying, I've become sin. I'm bearing the judgment that comes against sin. I am going to hell. And in the midst of it, I trust you, Father, that you will raise me back out of it. That was the last thing he said. And then he gave up his life. See, no one could take it. He had to give it up. But before he did, he declared his trust. Papa, I know I'm safe. Because I know you. And there's times when we stand in the midst of something and we have to be able to declare, Papa, I know it will be all right. Because I know you. And I want to encourage you by this verse, Galatians 2:20. I'm going to give it to you in the Old King James. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Most translations say, I live by faith in the Son of God. And there is truth in that. But folks, we also get to live by the faith of the Son of God. We get to live by Jesus' faith. And there are times when we can be in the midst of a situation and we can feel like my faith is small. And we can say, Jesus, I live by your faith. In the midst of this situation, I trust Papa God because I am in you and I have your faith. I don't just have my faith, I have your faith. And right now, Jesus, I stand by your faith. And I declare it will be okay. What an awesome privilege we have. See, stop worrying about the size of your faith. Most of us are worried that our faith is not big enough. But guess what? Jesus' faith is. And you can stand by his faith. Folks, a lot of the wounds we carry are from the abuse of trust. I don't have time now to go into this. I need to give you a couple of guidelines. Because God wants our hearts free to trust again. And if you struggle with trust, ask God why. there's probably an issue of abuse there, especially as a child. Forgiveness breaks the bond between us and the person who hurts us. Forgiveness frees our heart to trust again. Papa wants our hearts free, free to trust him, free to live as a son or a daughter of God. And if you've had abuse in your background, let Papa get you free so that you can live in the reality of that trust. Again, we'll have to leave it there for now because time has run out. So let's just quickly finish off. Third area, significance and success. Where does our significance come from? In the world's way of thinking, our significance comes from our achievement, from doing things well. Success is being the best. But the kingdom sees things differently. See, success in the world is only given to a few. At the Olympic Games, there will be many hopeful, but one winner. People have given their life to develop themselves in a field of sport or expertise. One winner. Folks, in the kingdom of God, we're all winners. Why? Because our significance comes from being God's kid. Our significance comes through being us. Your significance and your success is guaranteed because it comes from being you. And no one else can do that as good as you can. Mark 9, verse 33. And he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. I think the disciples were probably sort of shuffling around, sort of looking at each other, thinking, "Oh, why did he have to ask that?" Because as they were going along the road, they were talking with each other about whether they were greater than the other disciples. Who's the greatest amongst us? Verse 35, and he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." I love what Bill Johnson says about this. Jesus did not say to them, "It is wrong of you to want to be great." He didn't say that at all. He just redefined what greatness is and what it looks like. If you want to be great, become a servant of all. See, once we start to define our success by how much recognition we receive from others, we become vulnerable. We become vulnerable to the opinion of man and therefore the fear of man. Let your significance and let your feeling of success come from being God's kid. But that's not the only thing that Jesus said and did. carries on in verse 36. Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. The disciples were not looking to be kids. They were looking to be men of renown, like the prophets of old. They're going to write our story. People will remember our name. They'll remember the moment I did this. And what does Jesus do? He takes a little child. Must have been little because he took the child in his arms. And again, he redefines for us what it is to be significant in his kingdom. See, the good news is we don't have to be the smartest, the brightest, the fastest, the tallest, the smartest, whatever. All that we need to be his. And when people receive us, they receive what God has given us. And that's who he is. Stop thinking that you have to wait till one day when you have your act together. One day when you know everything. One day when you can be recognized on the world platform. You start as a kid. Now you're Papa's kid. And whoever receives you, receives him. I'm going to finish by putting up some questions. We're not going to spend time going over it. But if you want to write a question down and take it home and pray it through. Because I believe Papa wants us to know what it is to live as sons and daughters of God. And to build our significance out of that. So some questions. What does it look like to fellowship with you? Some of you are not confident to talk to God in your everyday mundane life. You're missing a dynamic of fellowshipping with God. He comes to your level. How are you teaching me to grow in trust? Be an interesting question for some of you. Is there some relationship in my past that violated my sense of trust? Who do I need to forgive? What is the lie that I believed? What is the truth? Then what does success look like in your eyes? Sometimes we're trying to gain success and God's saying, I'm not going to let you have the recognition that you are striving for because your trust will become in the approval of man. But talk it through with Papa. Last one, I struggle to feel significant. What do you say regarding this? So again, there may be a question there that you want to jot down, take home. Talk to Papa, because he wants to talk back. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you that you want us to live as sons and daughters of God. What an awesome privilege that is. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help us to grow in this whole area of living as sons and daughters. I thank you for it. Amen.